received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Lord, I sure love you. I love my folks. I'm glad they're here, and I pray you'd bless them. Pray for those that are away from us, Lord. You keep your hand on them, take good care of them, and use them. And Father, we pray that you'd bless your people from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Pete, that's just a hair loud, okay? He says there in verse number 13, for this cause, and when he says for this cause, he's actually looking back at the first 12 verses and how God brought him across the Thessalonians path and all that they did and everything. But then he says in verse number 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. One of the things about these Thessalonians that we have already seen in the first chapter and a half is that Paul was excited and thankful for these people because they heard the word of God, they received the word of God, and the word of God changed them. Now look, there's nothing, okay, I cannot make anybody live for God. Do you understand that? You can't make anybody live. You can't make somebody love God. You can't make somebody want to serve God. We can't do that. But I'll tell you who can. The Word, capital W-O-R-D, and the Word of God, the written Word, it's a powerful influence. And when a preacher gets some folks that will hear the Word of God and will receive the Word of God by divine faith, then he gets to see that powerful word of God work in their lives. How can you not be thankful for people who will receive and hear and believe the word of God? And then because they do that, God does a supernatural work in their lives. Buddy, we are not putting out bologna sausage, amen, cranking them through the mill. No, this is a divine work of God. And listen, there's nothing wrong with desiring certain characteristics and certain traits. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But we are individuals, amen? And God made us individuals, and God will mold us and conform us to the image of the Son of God. But there's going to be something a little bit different about all of us. Say amen right there. And that's a good thing by the grace of God. So I want to call your attention there. It says first that they heard without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God which ye heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't know about y'all, but I don't get tired of hearing that. A few weeks ago I mentioned Hank Thompson and a message he preached, and Marisa had it. You ain't never getting that tape back, woman. I am confiscating it under divine authority. He preached that message in 01. And I am working. Now, you know, he just gave you a bare-bone skeleton. I'm going to put some meat on that skeleton. I'm going to preach it to y'all. Amen. I'll tell you. And, you know, my wife heard it first. And remember I told you the CD player went? What a blessing. All things work together. The CD player went. Now we're using the old-fashioned cassette tapes because that hasn't broken yet. And we don't have no cassette music. We got cassette preaching coming out our ears. And she came in, she goes, oh, she said, you know, it's been a while since I heard one of Brother Hank's messages. Boy, it just, buddy, she just fired up. I said, I got to listen to this thing. If it's going to get her fired up, maybe it'll get me fired up, amen? And then I go, oh, Lord have mercy, my people need this. Isn't that right? I tell you. But anyway, they heard it. Don't get tired of hearing the word of God. That is what's going to help your faith. Listen, guys, I'm older, and I see things different than some of y'all because you're younger. And you know, I used to, you know, go down the road, and I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh or listen to some sports talk show on there. And yeah, I mean, I did that, you know. But I tell you what a waste of time. Amen. Just be honest with you, okay? You could listen to preaching. And now you got these crazy devices, these phones. Dan will put over 100 messages, lickety-split, in your phone. You can plug it into your car. You can listen to it. You can get preaching of the Word of God. You could get an app on your phone with Alexander Scorby reading the Word of God. You could be listening to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't get tired of it. I mean, I don't know how people have time to watch television. Do you understand? There's so much to read. There's so much to listen to. And it'll build up your faith. It'll strengthen. That other stuff is going to feed your flesh, and it's not going to help you. They heard the word of God. But look what they did. Number two, it says, which ye heard of us, ye received it. Oh, I like that. I think there's a special way they received it. Could I show you something? Keep your finger in Thessalonians. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I thought this was pretty interesting. Matthew chapter 1, you have the story of our Lord's virgin birth. You don't believe in the virgin birth, you can't be saved. Amen? We need a sinless Savior. Okay? And if he's a natural born son, then he's got a sin nature just like you and I. He was divinely conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. I don't even begin to understand that. Do you understand that? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They never had a beginning. He's eternal. He's almighty. He's everything, and he lowers himself to such a state that he would be conceived in a virgin's womb, for you and me. Man, we should never take for granted all that our Lord did for us. Amen. And then, you know, 9-month gestation period and our Lord being born in a dirty, stinking stable and, you know, tempted in all points like us without sin. Well, hey, listen, there's a story behind that. I mean, you got a Jewish maid and you got a Jewish young man and they are what? They're in love. And they are courting by the Jewish standards, I believe. Because they called him her husband. And see, once you got, the word's not engaged. What's that Old Testament? Huh? Betrothed. Once you were betrothed, you were considered husband and wife. You just have not come together, consummated your marriage physically, but you referred to as husband and wife. In other words, you were for each other, and you were just waiting for the marriage ceremony to take place. Do you follow me? And so you have a young Jewish man, a young Jewish maid, and they are in love. They're good Jews. I mean, they're keeping the law, and they love Jehovah God and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, they're just like, 100,000 other young Jewish couples. And so Joseph's in love. And you know what he knows about that girl? Listen, Mary's probably a teenager. I mean, I can't say that for sure, but she's probably just a teenager. And he's probably just maybe 20, 21, 22, something like that, young man. And you know what he thinks? He thinks that she's all for him and he's all for her. And they're just special. Amen? And then he finds out what? She's in a family way. Well, what would that do to you? Buddy, that sets you back a little bit. I mean, that would burst your bubble. I mean, that would mess up your golden dreams and everything. So look what it says there in verse 18 of chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privilege. What does that tell you about Joseph? One at a time. Okay. Yeah. He really loved her. And you know what? He did not react in a temper tantrum in the flesh, screaming and cussing and yelling at her. And what did he have the right to do? She could have been stoned. Is that right? That tells you something about Joseph's love for that woman. That even though all his dreams are burst and all his thoughts about her being just for him and everything, now, you know, his mind's just running crazy. And so, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, and I'll bet you he was thinking a million things, don't you? Hey, let's be real about the people in the Bible. These are real situations. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not sure Joseph's a theologian. I mean, he might have flunked out of Sunday school or something. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you got an angel of the Lord. Whenever you see, before the birth of Christ, the angel of the Lord showing up, who is it? It's always the Lord. Well, how many times have you had the Lord show up and talk to you physically? And here's just this Jewish guy who was fixing to get married, just finds out his wife's in a family way, and all his dreams have been messed up. Now he's getting a visitation from an angel of the Lord. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. What did he do? He heard the word of the Lord. And then what did he do? He received it. There was no questions. There was no debate. Now, I want to ask you something. What's the first thing you think he said to Mary when he found out she was in a family way? Who you been messing around with? And what'd she say? Joseph, I haven't been messing around with anybody. You're the only man in this world for me. Well, if I'm the only one with you, what's going on here? Well, Joseph, I had an archangel show up. His name was Gabriel. Right? And he's looking at her, going, an archangel. Gabriel. Yes, Joseph. And he told me that I had found favor with the Lord and that the Holy Ghost was going to put a baby in my womb without a man involved, and that that baby was the Son of God, and that he was going to save man from his sins. And I've heard of excuses before. But that one takes the... Are you with me? They're flesh and blood, just like you and me. And so he's thinking on everything she has told him, and he's thinking about, man, I thought we were going to have a life together, and now I got to put her away, and, man, I don't want to see her stoned. I love her. I just don't understand. Then the angel of the Lord shows up. Now, let me ask, do you think he understood everything when the angel of the Lord told him? No, he didn't, Nathaniel. But what did he do? He received it. And because he received it, he did what? He took her to be his wife. Bible says he didn't know her until after Jesus was born. Look at what it says then, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth, till. What does that mean? Afterwards, what kind of relationship did they have? A normal, healthy husband-wife relationship with six or seven other kids. Say amen right there. Amen. Mary can no more get you into heaven than the devil can get you into heaven. Say amen right there. Lord have mercy. Amen. And knew not until she, and called his name Jesus. She said, what are you getting at? He received her. Listen, when she told him about Gabriel, and then the Lord shows up and tells him, he says, you know what, I can't figure this out. This is way above my pay scale. But I tell you what, woman, something is going on here that I don't understand, and God is right in the middle of it. So you and me, we're just going to get together. And he said, we're going to get married. I'm not messing around with you until after that baby's born, and we're just going to see what God's going to do. So what's that? She received the word of God. He didn't question it. She didn't question it. They just received it. Look what the Bible, let's go back to Thessalonians. They received it. And the third thing, okay, they heard it, they received it, but then they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So they heard the word, they received it, but they didn't receive it as the word of men. Hey, you hear the word of man, what do you do sometimes? You doubt it. Oh, that's Kevin. Kevin exaggerates. I don't believe him. Or you dispute it. Brian said he saw little men coming out of a flying saucer. Brian's messed up. You dispute it. You doubt it. You dispute it. The word of man. Is that not right? Or you just put human faith into it. Okay, you know, I believe that Topel got a job and he got a raise and he got all that kind of stuff. Right? Okay, that's not how they receive the word of God. They weren't receiving it based on human reasoning. Well, you know, I can reason this out, you know, like engineers do. You know, got to figure everything out, weigh the balances, do the calculations, and if it all fits, then it's okay. No, they didn't receive it that way. They received it as the truth, the word of God. They believe that. You okay? I'm going to be working on you here real shortly. Amen? They received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy. I'll show you how they received it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Tim, that's why it's so important that you keep your heart right with the Lord and keep your stay in that book, no matter how much homework you got to do, because you got to counterbalance that human reasoning, buddy, with faith in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And any brains you got, you didn't get them yourself. You got them from God. You got that? Amen. And Miss Keenan working on you as a punk kid. Boy, that's good preaching, amen. And a bunch of other people loving you. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. How'd they receive the truth? They received it as it was inspired by God. Not just inspired, but inerrant. No mistakes in it. No infallible. That book is infallible. And it's unchangeable. Let them come out with all the new versions they want to come out with. That's just of the devil, amen? Thank God for that Word of God. And so what did they have? They had divine faith. What's divine faith? Divine faith is that they were ready to subject their hearts and souls to the Word of God. Hey, I want to tell you something. That night I got saved, Bob asked me, he said, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And I could not tell you why I said yes. I just believed it. As a Roman Catholic, I never read it. I don't believe I ever heard it read. They would have missals. And the only thing about the missals is they had all those different color strings hanging out of it. I never read a missal. I never read a Bible. But I tell you, somewhere from that Catholic religion, I got that the Bible was the Word of God. And so as a 22-year-old young man, I didn't have anything else to put my faith in. And so I just probably ignorantly said, yes, I believe the Bible's the Word of God. And when Bob took me through that plan of salvation, you know the Lord had been working in my heart. And I mean, that night, listen, it was supernatural. It was not humanistic. That night, the Holy Ghost opened my spiritual eyes. For 22 years, I believed Jesus was virgin born. For 22 years, I believed he lived a perfect life. For 22 years, I believed he died on the cross and rose again. I believed all that in my head. And then I believed that and me doing a good job, I might make it into heaven someday. But that night, that Word of God and that Holy Ghost opened my spiritual eyes and I saw Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I saw that I was going to hell and that I could by faith trust Christ. And that's exactly what I did. Woo! It's supernatural. That was all Word of God. Bob didn't win me to the Lord. The Holy Ghost won me to the Lord. I didn't have any faith. God had to give me the faith to trust Jesus Christ. Whew. Well, that was the beginning. When I walked into that little Baptist church down there and that man of God opened up that book and started preaching it, I believed it. And when he said that something was right, I started doing it. And when he said something was wrong, I tried to start quitting it. Said, well, I wanted the Bible to shape my life. I mean, I was talking to my niece, and she's just a rank liberal. I mean, you think of every liberal thing, she's just liberal. And she asked me, she said, you know, you and your brother, you're so different. I said, yeah, I know. I said, what happened is when I got saved at 22, I started going with the Bible. And so though I was raised in a conservative household, I went way more conservative because that's what the Bible says. I said, the Bible has shaped what I believe. Hey, I'll tell you, when I deal with people, you know what I try to get them to realize? What is your final authority? You know, they tell me, well, I believe this. I said, well, why do you believe that? What's your final authority for believing that? I said, I'll tell you what, my final authority is the Bible. I said, if the Bible says something is right, I said, it's right. I said, for instance, I do not believe in evolution. Most people can get by. That doesn't offend them too much, you know. And then I say, see, I don't believe in evolution because the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and he took dust and made man, made all the animals, took a rest on the seventh day. Amen. I said, do you get that? Oh. I said, also, I don't believe in abortion. Oh, you don't? No. I said, because in the Bible never uses the word pregnant. It doesn't say a woman was pregnant. The Bible says the woman was with child. I said, so according to the Bible, as soon as man and woman come together and that seed, whatever all that stuff is, you know what I'm talking about, take chemistry or biology or something, figure it all out, that God says they're with child. It's not an embryo. It's a baby. It's a human soul. So where'd you get that? The Bible. Amen. I'm against sodomy. The Bible says that for a man to lie with a man or a woman to lie with a woman, it's abomination to God. It's abomination. I mean, all you got to do is go down the barnyard. I mean, there's no sodomites in the barnyard. Hens go around with roosters and cows go around with bulls and mares go around with, yeah, whatever. Are y'all with me? I mean, if you can't reproduce, it wasn't of the Lord. It's a perversion of the Word of God. Amen? I mean, good night. The Bible is my authority. I even believe mom and dads are in charge at the house. I don't believe it's the children that are in charge. I know you kids disagree with me. But just because you can wrap your parents around your little finger doesn't mean that you're right. I believe men, moms, and dads are in charge. And I believe you kids are the ones who need to be obedient. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is be obedient. You know, this kid went and he had to work a job this summer. I'm chasing a rabbit here, okay? And I think he made good money and he worked and he had to get up and do all that kind of, and that's good stuff, you know? So I asked him the other day, I said, are you working right up till school? And he said, no, sir. I said, no? He said, no. He said, I'm going to take a week off before school starts. So I asked him tonight, I said, so you only got a couple more days? He goes, yes, just a couple more days. He says, then it's school. I never heard him talk about school in a positive note before. I looked at him, I said, I know. I said, these, he goes, the best years of my life. I go, whoa. Are we getting through here? Have we made a breakthrough? We'll see. I'm still suspicious. Doing okay? That book should mold you. Amen. Oh, this is just the way I was born. Oh, that's just the sorriest excuse in the world. I got the overcoming power of the Holy Ghost inside of me. I got the power of the Word of God in my hands. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can conquer your temper. You can conquer your slothfulness. You can conquer your lack of charity. You can conquer your lack of kindness. Say amen right there. Buddy, you can be just as spiritual, just as holy as you want to be with the help of God. That's a powerful book. And the cause that Paul has given thanks for these Thessalonians is because they heard the word and they received the word. And they received it not as a word of man, but as the word of truth, the word of God. And then it worked effectually in their lives. I love that word, effectually. I looked it up. I wrote it down in my Bible. I've written it down in my notes, but I don't always have the same notes. But it says, but as it is the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually, you see the word effect right there. That's the root word, effect. And so the word of God works with effect in your life. It affects your life. Do you follow me? Okay. Effectually means in a manner to produce the intended effect. Think about this. Is your life the effect that God intended when he saved you? Do you follow what I'm saying? What's he wants you to do? He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. Is that right? And then you know what? He wants you husbands to accept your responsibility in your home and to love that woman like Jesus loves the church, to provide for her physically, spiritually, emotionally, to be her head, to lead, guide, and direct her in spiritual and physical matters. Are we all? It's not just about how many toys and how many hobbies that you can have. Amen. And then for ladies, it's about getting married and being the wife that God, help, H-E-L-P, help me meet for him. Are you all with me? You're not the neck that turns the head. You're not the boss. You're not the nag. You're the help meet for him. And then parents, mothers, fathers, bring children into the world. Great responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Where do you get that? Get it from the book. And that book works effectually in your lives. But it says this, effectually worketh also in you that what? That believe. You got to believe. It's effectually. This book is so powerful. I know you know these verses, but it won't hurt to look at them. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is what? What does quick mean? It's alive. It's breathing. Can I illustrate this? I am not a, what do you call those people with high IQs? Genius? Okay. I want to try to explain something to you. If I had a history book here, okay, let's say it was the history of the Civil War. Let's say there's 300 pages in it, 40 chapters. There's only so much information in that book, right? If I was a genius, I could read that book 2, 3, maybe 4 times, and then I would have all the information out of that book that you could get. Are y'all with me? You take any book, you could use a science book, you could use a geography book, you could use an English book. Are y'all with me? There's only so much information in those books, and if you had the mental capacity, then you get everything out of it that you can get out of it. Do you understand that? You can't do that with that book. That book is alive. I remember listening to Dr. Ruckman's testimony. Dr. Ruckman's IQ was off the charts, and he was literally a genius. Dr. Ruckman, before he got saved, averaged reading one book a day. And I mean complicated books. He was a PhD and all that kind of stuff. So if Dr. Ruckman knew anything, he knew books, okay? And he knew that, you know, some of the complicated books he'd have to read 3 or 4 times, but then he'd get it. Am I making sense? So when he started reading the Bible, what did he think? Well, it's going to take me 3 or 4 times, and I'll get it. So that's what he did. He started reading the Bible, and he read first time, second time, third time, fourth time. After about the 4th or the 5th time, Doc thought, I've got it. And he started reading it the 6th time, and all this stuff comes. He said, well, I'm sure I got it now. And he started reading it the 7th time. And he was a little bit superstitious. He'd set it on his dresser at night. And then he'd set something on top of it so it didn't move. Because he's thinking, how does that book keep giving me so much? Because it's alive. Something that's dead cannot affect something that is alive. That book is alive. My spirit is alive in Jesus Christ. That book affects my spirit because it's alive. The word of God is quick. And what's the next word? How powerful is it? Boy, it was powerful enough for me to get under conviction and get saved. It's powerful enough to get me 43 years down the road by the grace of God. Get me through heartaches, get me through mountaintops, get me through valleys, get me through floods, get me through droughts. That's pretty powerful. He says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what this book tells you? It tells you what you're thinking. And it tells you how you're thinking wrong, or if you're thinking right. And look at verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I can't tell you in 42 years of pastoring how many people first come to the church and I get up and preach. And after some time goes by, maybe they get saved or maybe they get right with the Lord and they get into church. They'll come up and say, you know, That first time I was in church, you got up and preached, and I swore somebody told you all about me. And I didn't even know him, Topel. So, but there was somebody I was preaching about that knew all about them. And that book is so powerful. That book deals with your heart. That's why people can read newspapers and novels and Christian novels and geography books, and it doesn't bother them. But they have trouble reading that book, because that book tells you what you're thinking. That book talks to you. That's what some people don't like. Let me show you another verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm talking about the powerful working of God Almighty is usually expressed by this word, believe. You believe that book. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who what? See, that book effectually worketh in those that what? Believe. You don't believe the Bible, you don't get saved. You don't believe the Bible as a saved person, you don't grow in the Lord. There's no growth. Are y'all with me here? And so it says here, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who what? Who believe. You know, you read the great Christian biographies, the missionaries and the preachers and the Christian people who did something for the Lord. What was it that made them different? It was their faith. They believed God. They got a promise from that book. They grabbed a hold of that promise, and they trusted God. In the face of adversity, in the face of a minority, they just trusted God. And what happened? The exceeding greatness of His power was exposed to them that believe. I tell you what, if you witness believing the power of the Word of God, you'll see people get saved, people come out to church. But see, when you don't got no faith in it, there's no power. It's not going to change your life. That book will change your life if you believe it. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Guys, it's never about us. The only reason we're where we're at is by the grace of God. That's all it is. Mercy, grace, goodness, love, long-suffering. Huh? Has He been long-suffering with us? Hallelujah. It's all about Him. So if you ever had a desire to do good, it wasn't the spark of goodness in your soul. Because you ain't got no spark of goodness. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. So I had a thought to be a blessing to somebody. Yeah, God gave it to you. Amen. Well, you know, I was able to help so-and-so. Yeah, God did it. It's the Lord. It's got to be Him. Where the Word of God is received and believed as the truth of the Word of God, there is this power, this wonder-working power that effectually changes that person. It brings repentance. It brings love, brings joy, brings peace, brings self-denial, brings mortification, brings comfort, brings a burden for souls, a hunger to do something for the Lord. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Look at me. I can't do that for any of you. Do you understand? You have to be thirsty for God. You have to hunger. You have to want to get closer to the Lord. And you do it through that book. There's power in that book. That's a powerful book. Anything ever done in our lives, it's because of Him. And so look at chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Here's the evidence. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. What was that? Well, that was a product, that was the fruit of them receiving the Word of God and what? Believing it. What did it do? It changed them. It says in verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. That sounds like repentance. To serve the living and true God. What was that? That was the Word effectually working in their lives. Are y'all with me here? I love that verse. Listen, if in my preaching I can put the Word of God out there and you will hear it and you will receive it as the Word of God and believe it, it'll change your lives. And it wasn't Pastor Keenan, it wasn't Old Past Baptist Church, it was God who worked in your life and changed you by the grace of God for His honor and for His glory. And so he says, for this cause also, I'm in verse 13, we also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And I want to say something. As individuals and as a church, we should be bold in our Bible convictions. I am not ashamed of what I believe because of what the Word of God taught. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got everybody backing up because we live in this sissified society, American culture, that nobody wants to offend anybody with truth, but they don't mind offending us with sin, with degradation, with taking the Lord's name in vain, and all that other stuff. They don't care about offending us, but I'm supposed to be afraid of offending them because of what the Bible has taught me? Huh? Hey, two people shacking up, that's still sin. Illegitimate children, that's still sin. Drunkenness is still sin. Dope-headedness is still sin. For you kids that aren't married to be messing around with the other sex, that's sin. It's fornication. Not ashamed of that. That's what the Bible says. So, I think we should be like the Thessalonians in some areas. I think we should be faithful to the Word of God, that book. I think we should appreciate the Word of God. How do you show your appreciation for someone? Or how do you show your appreciation for the Word? How about reading it? And then how about doing what it says? Lifting it up. And you know what? I know this is a little bit, but that's the Bible. That's not, you ought not to just throw it around. You ought not let the kids mistreat it. That is the Word of God. That's God's book. Amen? Probably the first time I ever met Dr. Green, he said something about even putting something on top of his Bible. I don't even put something on top of my Bible. That's the Word of God. Amen. Some of you, all you do is take your Bible for a walk a couple times a week. So what are you talking about? Well, you pick it up from where you threw it the last time that you had church, and you take it for a walk to church and take it for a walk home. Oh, you didn't like that, did you? You ought to read it every day. You ought to appreciate it. You ought to accept it. Now, listen to me. If you spend 5 minutes in the Word of God and 3 hours a day on television and internet and all that kind of stuff, you're going to think the Bible's crazy. Say amen. Amen. I don't think the Bible's crazy. I think this world's crazy. Amen. I think you ought to appropriate it. You know what appropriate means? I think you ought to let it change your life. Let that book change you and make you what God wants you to be. Then look at verse number 14. Oh, boy. I did a whole verse in 40 minutes. I love that verse. I knew I was going to go off on it. I spent hours on it today. I've read 3 or 4 different books. Commentary. That is a great verse in the Word of God. That's why you're where you're at, Dan. Kevin, that's where you're at. That's why you're at. Now, you sure got a long way to go, but I mean, if you would just keep receiving and believing that book. Amen. I got news for you. I feel like I got a long way to go. I am not conformed to the image of the Son of God, but I want to be. Amen. Now, as far as being a husband, I can't get much better there, but I mean, wow, listen to you. Are y'all with me? Don't you desire to do better? I do. Be better. Have that touch, have that anointing all the time. Be a witness for the Lord. Just say something good for Him. And it says in verse 14, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." How about that? They were followers. Isn't that what the heathen say to us? Oh, you're just following a man. Well, who are they following? Huh? I mean, you know, it's football season. So they're going to paint their faces and they'll go outside and in 20-degree weather, take their shirts off and paint their chest and scream, "Yay!" Who are you following? Amen. Oh, you give all your money to... Hey, you ever see what a season ticket is at something like that?
Amen.
And they're going to criticize us because I'm investing in the Bank of Heaven?
Amen.
You follow me?
Amen.
Lord, yeah, I am following the Lord. I'm following holy men of God. I'm following other churches. Hey, there's a lot of things. I get to visit a lot of churches. If I see something good in a church, I want to get it in my church.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we'll follow churches. Why? Because we saw the Word of God work effectually in those churches, and we wanted it to work in our church. And see, it says there in verse 14, "For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." What happened, the Jews that believed, they suffered a lot of things from the unbelieving Jews. Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to finish up with this tonight. Go back to Acts 17, and I'll show you with these Thessalonian believers, Acts 17. You know, Paul didn't spend a lot of time in Thessalonica. He got run out pretty fast. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. This is Paul's second missionary journey, if you're studying it. Chapter 17. "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the way." So who's he preaching to? He's preaching to Jews. It's in the synagogues. How long was he there? 3 weeks, three Sabbath days. Verse 3, "opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some," that's the Thessalonian believers, "and some of them," what? "They believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of them, chief women, not a few." So it wasn't just the Jews. There's some Greeks and there's some women got saved too. Verse 5. "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason had received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea." Why'd they do it by night? They were scared. They were after them. "Unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." And so Paul is commending these Thessalonians for the way they received the Word of God, and then for the way they continued in the Word of God, even though they suffered many things. Guys, it is appointed, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Some of it will come from our families. Some of it will come from our friends. Some of it will come from co-workers. It's just going to come for saved people. That's part of it. In this life, we suffer with Him. In the next life, we get to reign with Him. We should not be ashamed of our Lord and that book, for after all that He has done for us. Amen. Let's pray.